Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamish, non-binary-ish, feminist ho who lives in New York City, whose pronouns are they, them, she, and her. And I'm joined in person by
Rob the God, one non-binary, pansexual firefighter with the fatty, pronouns they, them, and daddy. Yeah.
We'd love to see it. Good to see you, friend.
Good to see you too, friend.
Every episode of the Inner Ho Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-hosts talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally, we hit you with interviews with insightful folks. And this is one of those fucking occasions. Mm-hmm. This episode, we're talking to a badass queer kinky thruple, or as I think they call it, triarchy, but we're going to figure it out. Mm-hmm. As we speak to them, but we're getting into things like date night for a party of three, jealousy and or compersion, who sleeps in the wet spot, and much more.
I don't remember.
Important questions, right? What are our social medias?
If you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you could do so by using the hashtag Inner Ho Uprising or tweet us at Inner Ho Uprising without the G on Twitter. We're also at Inner Ho Uprising on Instagram and Facebook.
Grandma! Yeah. Are you a ho?
All right, let's get right into it. Today, we're talking to three members of a queer... That's a tongue twister. We're talking to three members of a queer, kinky, thruple, or triarchy, or something else. We're about to figure it out. But they are. Would you like to read their bios, Rob?
Goddess Blaine, pronouns she, her, is a queer intimacy and kink / BDSM educator, licensed massage therapist, avant-garde rope artist, and writer. She teaches locally in New York and virtually with her partners, creating educational safe spaces for Black, Indigenous, people of color, prioritizing their pleasure. Sir Sadistic, pronoun he, his, is a lifestyle dom and adult content creator whose work is rooted in his desire to create visibility and grounded education for Black and queer people interested in the BDSM lifestyle. And Lotus Rope Wolf, pronouns he, him, a Dominican.
Okay. From Dominica, not so Dominican bad. Republic.
I'm so sorry.
Yes, very good. Good job. Yeah. Thank you, Sam.
Dominican. She tried to like write it in there.
You so did. You got it. She put the two capital E's and I just...
Because I didn't want you to say Dominican, but here we are.
I said Dominican. Yeah, I wasn't... Anyway, Lotus Rope Wolf, a Dominican... Okay, I've never said that before, so my bad. A Dominican rigger and professional dom, his philosophy around kink is heavily influenced by Audre Lorde's essay, Uses of the Erotic. He believes in creating moments of intimacy that are positive and life-changing.
Love it. Hello, folks.
Hey, hey, hey.
Happy to have you with us here today. Hey. These are, like, the best people in the world.
No, like you folks have no fucking idea.
We went through, but let's hop right into things. How did you all meet?
Who wants to tell us? Should I tell?
You absolutely should tell it.
You should.
Okay. So I met Lotus Rope Wolf on the internet in 2018. I started following him on Instagram because I was interested in rope bondage, and I was particularly looking for someone who was Black doing it, you know, just the art. I never really saw myself actually getting tied and being in rope, and that came from lack of representation in the rope community and so on and so forth. But I really appreciated his posts and his art, and I noticed that he tied a lot of Black femmes, which was interesting to me. I was dating this couple around Halloween season, 2019, and we ended up at a play party in which I met Lotus Rope Wolf in person and was so geeked. I didn't talk to him all night long, just staring, just being around. And, after the event, you know, I waited a couple days, slid in his DMs, and I was like, you know, it was so great meeting you. You know, I had a great time. You know, Look forward to supporting you at your next event. You know, cute shit. And he was like, yeah, you know, it's great to meet you. And I proceeded to slide in his DMs here and there, you know, responding to stories and things. But I don't always flirt so great. So after getting tired of some more dry responses, I dropped a lingerie pic in his DMs, and then his phone number popped up. And I was like, it was like magic. It was like booty number. He was like,
that'll do it.
And it was a good one too. I was like, oh yeah, let me slide this way. Maybe I'm not being clear enough. We're talking about cheeseburgers and Doc Martens.
Yes, there was no way to misconstrue anything. I was like, oh, okay, got it. You're interesting. Thank you.
His number, and we had a six to seven week long vetting process where we just got to know each other off of socials and talking more frequently. That was during the time when we were vetting, when I asked about podcasts he listened to, and he was like, I listened to Inner Hoe Uprising. I was like, oh yeah, oh okay. And that gave him, that was major cool points, because I'm not a fan of people who say, you know, queer this, queer that, but y'all not like really supporting the queer platforms, especially the Black queer platforms. So he won major points there. And in our third year of our relationship, we met Sir and his partner at the time, a young lady. She was interested in exploring rope bondage. And we're always happy to lend a hand in giving people resources, the experience itself with rope bondage, because at this point, Lotus and I have been teaching together. We fell in love with Sir. And even though his primary relationship that he was in at the time ended, we made a conscious collective decision, Lotus and I, to continue to open ourselves to him. And we grew in love from there. And that was about a year and a half ago. So that's where we are. And we also met Sir initially on Twitter, because we are on Not Safe for Work Twitter, as we are kink and intimacy educators. So we often interact with sex workers and content creators. And he had been one of my favorites because he had the prettiest penis and the most beautiful smile.
Agreed. And no, this is one of the first things that we agreed on together. Yeah, and it's like he has a pretty penis. And what a beautiful smile.
And what a beautiful smile. Because it went from me just kind of casually browsing his content to being able to also share it with Lotus, which is one of my favorite parts about being queer and non-monogamous. Mm-hmm. Being able to share things like that. And I have a major voyeurism kink. So I'm like, hey, I'm looking at this. Would you like to look at this with me? And he's like, oh, he's so pretty. And I was like, he is. And he ended up coming into this existing relationship that we had and worked with us to rebuild it, to make it a home, which is the triad you see before you now.
That's beautiful. Wasn't it the most beautiful story? Oh. Beautiful story, beautiful people. Can't speak to the penis, but Sir does have a very beautiful smile.
Exactly, exactly.
It's just like that. You know, there were, you know, breakups and reconfiguring of relationship archetypes, which, you know, we'll talk more about, but it was something special that we both came to love him the way that we did. And to watch my cis male partners fall in love has been like the most mind-blowing experience and thing to witness. And it constantly leaves me in an overflowing space. And they'll obviously talk about their dynamic, but to be each other's first boyfriend.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's my first boyfriend and he's great. I did well for myself. I'd like to think the same of him. So
I agree. You did. You did wonderful, personally, in my humble opinion.
And Sir, is Lotus also your first boyfriend?
Yes. Yes, aww. Very much so. Before Lotus, I didn't really even consider much romance with men, at least sexually with men. I was already experienced that way, but romance with men just wasn't really a thing. And I found this with both of them, really, with both of them, and being able to sort of explore these different feelings with both and explore the full range, really, of my love, the full spectrum of my love, and just how much I have to give. And I've always had this enormous amount to give. So now I have plenty for both of my partners. It has been a great, wonderful, insightful experience, just sort of exploring all of that, exploring all of these things that I've never even, when I was younger, I didn't even think to touch those things because I didn't even understand my own queerness at the time. Now that I'm much more secure in it and understanding of it, I love my boyfriend. He's great. He is phenomenal.
Oh, that's so sweet. And what was that moment like for you, sir? We kind of heard it from Goddess's perspective and by way of that, Lotus's perspective. But what was the moment for you when you said, oh, I'm in love with these two people?
I guess, ironically enough, it was the dissolving of my previous relationship, or at the time, my current relationship. At the height of the downfall of that relationship, Lotus and Blaine kind of just opened themselves to me. And I remember the night I was sitting there in my room, in my apartment, crying my eyes out. And Blaine was kind of just like, hey, can you just come over? Like, just come over. And I sat with both of them and they just listened to me vent and cry and vent and cry. And they opened themselves to, they held a very special space for me to be vulnerable, to feel safe, to feel like people actually were listening to me and caring about me. And from that moment on, I kind of was like, these people are wonderful. I would love to stick around here.
So healthy and so sweet.
So my question, what made you all decide that this is the kind of relationship that you wanted, especially you, Blaine, because this isn't your first triad relationship, because you said before that you were dating another couple. So like, I've never looked at two people and go, oh, I mean, I've said it all the time. Like, I want to be in a relationship.
You do say it a lot, actually.
But I mean, I think maybe
it might be one of the top five things you say. Yeah.
I'd be feeling that way. Yeah. But however, I've never like actively approached that. Like, how do I get into this? How do I get into these people's relationship? Is that even possible? So like, how do you, or how did you decide that being in a triad is something that you actually wanted to do?
So I've always loved women for as long as I can remember. I feel like I was always a queer child. I loved to kiss on my girlfriends, and I experimented in those, you know, sleepover type safe spaces as an adolescent, just kind of exploring and asking questions. And I always thought boys were cool. Because of how polyamory is kind of shown in mainstream media, we're often seeing it with the man at the center. And then there are the two adjacent femme partners who may or may not intersect. So they may have a sister wife where they are platonic, but a part of the same team. Or you can all be in the relationship collectively and the relationships intersect. So I kind of always saw myself as I was either going to meet two existing two people in an existing relationship who thought I was good enough to keep around, kind of unicorning, or I was going to find comfort in a partner who wanted to explore non-monogamy with me, and maybe we would pull in a partner who we liked together. And it didn't seem to work. It never worked. I've been non-monogamous now for 10 years, and I've explored polygamy. I've explored ethical non-monogamy as a solo polyamorous, where I set the intention that I came first. I was a practicing Muslim, so I was a third wife. I've explored it in so many different archetypes. And when this came together, I was mind blown because I didn't expect it. Because Sir came and initially had another partner, we were kind of like two couples that were dating. We intersected sexually, trips, we did stuff together, and we kind of expected it to stay that way because Lotus and I had established our desire to have life partnership at that time. And one of our first rules when interacting or engaging in non-monogamy together, polyamory together, is that we leave how we came, in that we always put each other first. We trust each other first. We are the home team. And if we want to make any changes to the relationship, we are going to talk to each other first. If we are going to make any decisions that may affect other people, we're still going to handle things in-house first. And that was also with the expectation that we might have to try and fail a few times. When Sir came to us that night, because that was a pivotal moment in our relationship where he realized that the relationship he had was coming to an end at no fault to us, because we were very concerned. Because the goal is to not ruin other people's relationships as you're intersecting. You know, you want things to go well, you want things to be positive, but we also acknowledge that relationships end. There was a lot to consider between Lotus and I before officially opening up our relationship to just Sir, because that's a different kind of relationship. And I appreciated Lotus so much because he was very open and very honest with me. We also realized that this was one not a kind of relationship that any of us had ever had. So we were going to extend a lot of grace, but also this wasn't the kind of relationship where I, the femme, is in the middle and my two male partners are adjacent, but they do not intersect. Once they decided that, they were growing in love and communicated that, it had to be considered in what kind of relationship we were building. And we worked on that for maybe 6 months. It was a lot of conversations. It was a lot of trial and error. It was a lot of building up boundaries and breaking them down if they didn't work, and giving each other a lot of grace as we don't have experience in doing things this way. Lotus and I lived together and had been nesting partners for 3 years. So, you know, making time and making sure that there is space to even offer someone the opportunity to join the relationship. And this was a big deal for me in particular, because this was my first relationship, my first polyamorous relationship, being a primary partner. I had just been the partner coming in to the existing relationship, but I got to build this primary relationship with Lotus. And we had to decide at that point what kind of relationship we were going to offer to Sir. And it becoming the triad it is today was trial and error and a lot of honesty, because we really wanted to get it right. And if someone would have told me a year ago, this is where I would be, I would have laughed and told them that, like, I have only dreamed of such things. My vanilla friends that find me on social platforms, on these platforms where I teach, they're like, wow, I love this for you. This is what you've always wanted. It is, but it felt like I was being greedy or something. Like where was I going to find two queer Caribbean men who were going to dote on me in such a way and create these secure, safe spaces for me as a disabled Black femme? I would have told me I was dreaming too. So like, you gotta just try it. You gotta try it and see. That's what I tell people. Like when you're looking to build this thing for yourself, you start with step one. You start with yourself. You find out what you need and what you can give and what you can offer. And it comes to you. It comes to you. And if it's working, it'll feel good. And if it's not, it won't. And one thing I will say about this relationship, the confirmation was the fact that even as we hit the roadblocks, it kept working. It kept working because everyone was okay stopping and starting and trying and apologizing. And this relationship works because they work so well together, which I've never seen Black men work together the way my partners do. And they handle each other and me with so much love. It's been great to kind of build the relationship in the way that I felt like I always could operate with the levels of vulnerability and honesty. So like, you gotta find the people. it'll weave itself together because it's everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. Everybody we meet is for a reason.
I love the commitment that you have towards each other and the grace that you hold for one another. It's a beautiful thing to even like witness in this very space. So thank you for allowing us in. Real question, but like a little aside question, what's everybody's ethnicity? Because I heard that there's two. So are you both Dominican or like what's going on here?
No. Okay. I am Jamaican. The beautiful man over there is Dominican.
Wagwan.
Sir is Jamaican.
Yeah, that's my culture. Thank you. And how about you, Blaine? Are you also Caribbean?
I am not. My family is actually Geechee. My family's from the Carolinas. I'm from Brooklyn.
That's a fact. My mom was from Jamaica, Queens. So she would be like, I'm from Jamaica, Queens.
Yeah.
But real question, and I want to kick it over to Lotus because you've been silent over there at the top of our screen. How would you describe everyone's relationship to one another? Like, how do your individual relationships differ? And then how does that play a role into your relationship as a triad as a whole?
Our relationships differ in that people differ, right? I have a nesting partner who's in the femme body, who is chronically in pain, whose body's doing this thing. So there are just ways that our relationship differs, and what is expected of our commitment. And I have this beautiful man who I love and can talk to and lean on. It just is something that fits and comes together so well, because meeting another queer man from a background such as a Caribbean background is a rarity. Yeah. Then on top of that, this person is a dominant, is into the lifestyle. And I'm like, I don't have to explain any things to you, like many things to you. I don't have to explain. All I have to do is nerd out about this stuff with you, because we don't need to check off any boxes. You understand these things about consent, and we have our base understanding of what we all consider together as a group. And it's amazing. I mean, I have my two, it feels for me in my relationship, I have two amazing friends and lovers who I can literally do anything with. Listen to music and nerd out about music with, nerd out about anime with, kink with, talk about the latest politics and policy, because I'm like a numbers and policy nerd. And my boyfriend used to work in finance, and my partner worked in marketing, and we're also all musicians. fun. Oh, so how? We get how? To like Wait, fucking how? Do whatever how? The fuck we want, whenever we want, despite our day jobs. So I have a really fucking good time. That's what my relationship is like. Yeah. So I've been quiet because I'm just like, yeah, I don't know what to say, y'all. Like, it's a real good fucking time. Sex is bomb. We're making money together because we're making content together. We're teaching together. We've invested in each other's costuming and like fantasies and lifestyle. We're on the same page. We go together. Like, we Period. Go together. Period.
Like, nothing else. This is like, I'm like guffawed right now. Right. I'm like,
it's literally perfect. Nothing to say. Yeah, because like, what it's the like, fuck? Okay, so I guess the interview's done. Everybody's perfect.
We match, we match. Right. Check mark. Right. Like, that's amazing.
So we get to make our fantasies happen with this beautiful woman that we love, right? Who we get to share our deepest, darkest fantasies with and be like, yo, you're not going to judge us because you're right here with us. And we're bouncing these ideas off of each other and how to create spaces where you talk about that shit, where you do that shit, where you, you know, just get into it. It's amazing.
All of the hard stuff, or all of the stuff that I think is usually hard for other people, just came very easy for us. We all were just into the same things. We all, even if one of us is an expert in something, the other two will just sit there and let them nerd out about whatever it is. Like it doesn't like we'll sit there. I was very late to watch like Summer of Soul. So, like, my loves were like, no, you got to watch it. So I sat and watched it. And I just knew that my boyfriend had a lot of history to tell me about this because this is his field, organizing and policy and urban planning and all of these sorts of things. This is what he is a master of. So I was like, oh, Lotus is about to tell me something really interesting about this. Go. Yeah. I'm ready.
Yeah.
Even just last night, Blaine and I were watching King Richard for the first time, and I actually used to play tennis as a child. I grew up playing tennis, so I'm sitting there just absentmindedly giving her facts about things that were going on around the Williams family while they were finding their way to being professional and all of these things. And it's just fun. It's all fun. So all of the harder stuff, the compatibility things that I think some people struggle with, we didn't. So we just kind of got to dive right into like, okay, well, here's what I haven't done. Have you done this?
Yeah. It's like, let's have a good time.
Yeah.
Because life is hard. Let's have a good time.
Especially in our like intimate relationships, right? Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Shall we get into the kink?
Let's get into the game.
So I heard something about fulfilling deepest, darkest desires. Let's talk about that. How does kink come into play within your relationship?
Lotus is a professional and lifestyle dominant. I am his rope bunny, as he is one of my favorite, hands down, favorite rope artists and rope bondage experts in the whole wide world. Sir and I are in a total power exchange. I am his submissive, his lifestyle submissive. So that's daddy. That's daddy. And Lotus is my rope wolf. And he refers to me as his eternal muse. So I bottom for him as he creates rope art. We work collaboratively doing that together. And sir, I belong to him in more ways than one. And he helps to structure 99.999% of my life, even as I am supported and cared for and nesting and loved by Lotus. And they work collaboratively as they are both service tops. Like they like to do things. They like to, they are doers. But that's where we are in the kink. So I am 100% submissive. I do not switch. That's too much energy. I don't have it. And I am the resident princess because soft life, babe. That's where we're at.
Kink is kind of how we came together, really. Yeah. How we even met, because my partner at the time very much wanted to be tied by Lotus Rope Wolf. Mm-hmm. I kind of went on his social medias. I'm like, wow, he's really good at this. Yeah, you should totally get tied by him.
Yeah.
And then eventually was, and we all met. We told you we started dating. And then, but even before then, even just me being a content creator and them seeing me in sort of my harder kinks, let's say, it was a realization, like Blaine saying like, oh, I'm kind of into that. I'm like, really? Are you really? And me and Lotus talking and him being like, yeah, I'm into this. I'm like, I'm into that too. Like, yeah, no, like, let's.
Like all that nasty shit. Yeah, come on.
All of it. Let's.
Are you comfortable sharing that nasty shit or some of your harder kinks?
This is, I'm so fucking curious.
Sure.
safe space.
Definitely a fan of impact play. Definitely. I love spanking. I love spanking with, I have a multitude of tools that I enjoy my impact with, floggers and crops and whips and paddles and things of that nature.
What else?
I'm also into CNC, consensual non-consent, which is sort of this agreement between two people of like, you know what? Yes, you can handle me a certain way. You can handle me without kind of, because usually during sex with anyone, really, you know, you try to negotiate as much as you can beforehand, but sometimes things are going on and you have to ask for consent for things in the moment, where sort of with consensual non-consent, we've gone through all of these things and we are just giving sort of a full consent, saying, hey, you can do this whenever you want, wherever you want, have at it sort of deal. Mm-hmm. Which is something that Blaine and I kind of bonded over.
That's how I describe it. Consensual non-consent is you are agreeing in advance to the surprises that someone who knows your likes, your wants, your desires, and your boundaries, you're giving them permission to surprise you, knowing that they're going to stay within the confines of any previous agreements and also what your going boundaries are.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You like knives too. Come on, get to the good stuff.
Spill his tea. Hey, this is Principal Co-host Sam. As some of you may have already heard, this season is the last season of Inner Hole Uprising. But turn that frown upside down and buckle up, because from now until the end of November, you're in store for the last dance, the final hoorah, our swan song, the last act, our farewell appearance, our famous last words, the culmination. And it's gonna be good, and we want you to be a part of it. So if you have special memories or moments of IHU that you'd like to share with us, drop us a line. It'll make us feel all warm and fuzzy inside, and we'll play them on our final episode. To share your thoughts, leave a voicemail to 404-491-9158. Again, that's 404-491-9158. That number will be in the show notes. Thanks for rocking with us for 10 seasons.
I like knives. I may have a couple, you know, fake weapons around for me.
But no, like, blood play. He doesn't do blood.
We don't break skin personally. Mm-hmm. I don't. There are some people who do, who like to go to that point. I am not one of those people. Mm-hmm. There's a certain limit that I won't pass. But yeah, I enjoy a little role play, you know, a little kidnapping. I personally love bondage tape as a bondage tool. And I love using bondage tape. I love using different tools for bondage, things like spreader bars or handcuffs or things of that nature. I've done a lot of exploring.
Wide array of taste.
Like my...
Yes.
I like it.
It's
like
a smorgasbord.
It's literally a smorgasbord. Yeah.
No, and it's...
We like it.
That's the fun part, that we all kind of... we all have had things that we kind of came to this relationship with that the others may not have engaged in ever. Maybe they've had thoughts about it. Maybe they've had fantasies about it. Maybe they've never even heard of it. But we all have gotten to share those things. And kind of inevitably, we all now enjoy each other's kinks as a whole.
Yeah.
I introduced Lotus to breeding kink.
Vicious.
I put it for it every time.
Tell us about that. Tell us about that.
Previously, before that, like I was not having sex like without a condom and like straight up nutting and people. Oh, sorry, I know I feel like I'm so crass, but I just want to like just.
This is Inner Whole Uprising. Be crass.
Yes,
be
please. Crass. It's the only way to be.
Then you know, I was like, oh, okay, this is the thing. Okay, cool. Great. We're this is the thing. Got it. I understand. This is a sacred thing. Like it.
I came in with a vicious breeding kink. So when Blaine kind of approached me and said, so, like, are you into this? I'm like, yeah.
I did not know that was a kink.
I did.
Yes. Because you want all the baby-making energy, but not none of the baby. But like, no, I want you to, I might even say it, like, we're going to play that game. But we don't want that. And that's why the kink. Like, it stops.
No, yeah.
Where we stop.
Yes.
All right. Yes, that's good to know, because I think I have that kink, and because I'm on birth control, but I'd be like, give me a baby.
Yes,
like,
yes. It might be the most baseline kink for us to have, right?
It's no, it is.
That's what our bodies be doing.
Yeah.
It makes you tap into the primal energy, and I just feel like my body's like, all right, well, then we're going to do it. And I'm like, ah, gotcha. No, we're not. No, we're not.
You thought.
But like, maybe. I want to feel like, yes, breeding kinks is one of my top kinks, because I want to feel like we're about to make a baby, but not
really. Man. I don't want the baby to come.
Yeah, we don't want it to come.
We don't want that.
But beg me for it. Just beg me for the baby. I don't want to give you the baby, but beg me for the baby.
To empty it, but no. Yes. Don't come out.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
The adamant, please no baby. Please do not give me a baby.
Give me a baby.
I have one more question, not in general, but just like on the kink tip. So like how Lotus and Sir kind of collaborate in like constructing Blaine's day and things like that. Like, what does that look like? What does that look like? And how does that allow you two guys to like bond as partners?
And the funny thing is, it's not even just an exclusive thing of we're both her doms, but we both are tops. We both have this similar energy that I can only attribute to being good Caribbean children and just learning how to do things, learning how to cook, learning how to clean, learning how to like.
You guys are the king version of my dad. Yeah. Don't tell my
dad. I won't tell him.
Doing these things because we do have specific. I specifically am Blaine's dom. And Lotus is my boyfriend, and they are boyfriend and girlfriend. They also have another dynamic of being rope top and bottom. And within it, whereas, you know, when I came into this relationship, I learned a lot about Blaine in particular, right? As we started vetting each other for a possible dynamic, but learning that she was disabled, that she had certain conditions with her body that were, for lack of a better way of saying it, were fucking with her and were causing her chronic pain all day, every day. She's under stress. The pain gets worse. Sometimes with the weather, the pain gets worse. Like it's sort of a constant thing, and sort of learning about that. And at a point I realized like, wow, there's just a lot to do. And part of where Lotus and I bonded was because I realized like he's kind of been doing this himself, and it's a lot. Being a caregiver is a lot, and being a caregiver for a thing for, because at the time for a thing that we hadn't even really officially tested for. Like, we hadn't officially tested for certain things and gotten certain, you know, official diagnoses and all of these things to know how we were going to move forward. So at some point, I kind of just said, like, hey, we need to get your body in order. Telling Blaine and talking to Lotus, saying, like, hey, like, I see you're tired. Like, I see there's a lot going on, and I'm going to do the best I can to help with this thing, but we got to figure out what the things are so we can properly take care of her. And we kind of bonded over that, bonded over me integrating myself into this existing relationship and kind of filling in the gaps and kind of being able to come over on the weekends, especially when I was in New York, currently in Maryland. But when I was in New York, I was there every weekend, pretty much. I'm a trucker, so I'm kind of up at 4 a.m. and not done till like maybe early afternoon. So I'm usually asleep early. But like on the weekends, I was there every weekend. I was cooking, I was cleaning, I was just helping out with things, doing little sort of around the house things, not necessarily because they asked me to, but just because I could see that, like, I realized where I could help, and where I could help is figuring out how to lessen the burden little by little. And as we learned more about Blaine's body, as we learned more about Lotus and certain things that he hadn't even gotten the chance to figure out within himself and his own body, we kind of restructured this thing and figured it out. And at some point I was kind of like, all right, here's how we're going to do things. We're going to get y'all, like, I'm kind of a health nut on the low. I'm our resident.
I saw you with the green juice.
Very Jamaican, right?
I'm our resident vegetarian. I love to cook. It's kind of my love language. I love cooking for people. I get it from my grandparents. And at some point I was just like, all right, so like, what are you guys doing? And there was at one point I was like, so what multivitamins are you taking? And they kind of looked at me like, not really taking multivitamins. I'm like, all right, no. Here's what we're gonna do. Got them both little pill case organizers, and I'm like, so here's the supplements we're gonna be taking from now on. And here's kind of the diet that we're gonna have from now on. And sort of that's just because that's just my love language. That's how I work. And I'm just like, well, you guys bare minimum can feel better on a day-to-day if we just restructure the diet and drink more water and take the necessary vitamins and minerals and things like that. And sort of we all bring something different to the situation, but that's sort of how we bonded. We bonded because I was able to just bring things I was really knowledgeable about and say, like, hey, let me help you out. Let me help you do this a little easier. I would tell Lotus, let me help you do this a different way.
Yeah.
And even just having those times together and then just having time to talk within that, right? Like talking about things other than, you know, our day-to-day structuring of life. Mm-hmm. Having the time to talk and having the time to have the understanding, sort of, as Lotus told you earlier, like, we're both queer Caribbean cis men. Yeah. We come from similar backgrounds. We get to laugh about the old Caribbeans in our family and the silly shit that they do. And that's where the bonding really took place. And we really were able to see, like, oh, like, we can definitely fill each other's cups constantly. Mm-hmm. And it's mm-hmm. that's the beauty of having three of us, is that if one of us is having a bad day, the other two can kind of pick them up. If two of us is having a bad day, the other one's going to try and pick them up. It is a constant sort of balancing act, because nobody's always on all the time.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. The level of nurturing is like,
it's like swaddling.
Yeah. Like, I feel loved. I feel loved.
Like, just like by proximity, yeah. Right? Like, I'm feeling the love through the fucking Zoom. I'm literally in this triad. It's a quad.
We're emotionally invested. Or
what's five?
Five is sink.
Okay, we're a sink. Okay, anyway, we're a
sink.
So, last question. So, how do you all deal with jealousy? and it's and also like compersion. I didn't Google that word.
Okay.
And you put it in there.
And I'm using context clues.
I'm assuming that compersion is a term for jealousy within a polyamorous.
It's actually
type.
The opposite of jealousy. What's so that? Like, I feel good that my partner is spending time with someone.
I did not use context clues.
You whatever. It'd be okay. Like that. Okay. I ain't an English major. But anyway, so how do you deal with jealousy and do you experience compersion? Because I'm not sure if we clarified whether or not you guys still see other people outside of your relationship.
And also, how does that show up within your relationship? Mm-hmm. I know you guys, y'all love the fuck out of each other.
Obviously.
But are there moments of jealousy where it's like, ooh, Lotus and Sir, like, they fucked without me last night. And it's like,
excuse me.
First of all, I always have get away from my man energy. But like, jealousy, I always feel like the feelings of jealousy are often rooted in scarcity of some type. So I never feel like I should be hesitant to bring it up to my partners because I feel like maybe if I need help sorting through my feelings, they can help me. Or if I've been able to identify what I'm missing, we can solve for it. And I think that what helps me kind of cut through jealousy is that I know, one, if I'm uncomfortable with something, my partners won't do it. And that's not a veto power thing. It's just a, we take care of home base. We make sure that each other are comfortable and nothing really comes before that. But also because it's healing, to be honest, because even if the jealousy is as a result of a trigger, I can still talk about it. My partners listen, like we listen to each other. Yes, some days we're better listeners than others, but the ability to talk about feelings that put you in a space that you're more sensitive, more vulnerable, especially when you're triggered. I know that my partners try their best not to internalize things when I'm kind of conveying. I have had to learn how to communicate to each of my partners respectively. I do not talk to them the same. I cannot talk to them the same when I'm approaching something. I also have a tone problem because I am a Brooklyn girl. So sometimes my negative feelings sound like battle rap and I have to pull back. One of the things that I have been eternally grateful for Sir's presence is the fact that he has both advocated for me as I've worked through numerous different things as we've been establishing our relationship, but also because he established the level of trust, because he advocates for me, I also believe him immediately when he tells me that I'm wrong, or if I am reaching, or if I have jumped to conclusions, which I often do because I am a Leo and I can't help it. And that's a big part of it. So like when I don't have the fear of being gaslit, or the fear of being disregarded, or just the feeling of being dismissed, having those things out of the way, I am able to communicate feelings of, jealousy or discomfort, with a lot more ease than I ever have been. Being able to also have a partner as a buffer, because buffers are nice. Like that's one of my favorite parts about being in a triad, is having someone who is invested be helpful, because sometimes you need another ear. Sometimes there's a miscommunication or a lapse in communication. And I realized that with the three of us being accountable, we are able to stand in the gap for each other when there's a bit of discourse. I do not date, but I am open to, like, as far as my partner's levels of comfort. But I'm polysaturated. I'm good. I don't have no more poly to give. Gotcha. So my part of the triad is technically closed. Sir and Lotus. Sir does porn, so he often has sex with other people that are vetted, tested, and all of those great things. Lotus does like dating light, you know, goes on dates, collects panties, you know, things like that. I love that he is the kind of guy that will tell you to take your panties off in a restaurant and bring them to. But yeah, they date, and I'm very supportive of my partners as they interact with others. One, because I'm a voyeur, so I want to watch. And even if I don't watch, I want to hear about it later when we're having sex. That's fine. and it's nice to be able to be hands-off, because I've been in relationships where I felt like I needed to be everywhere my partner was, or in every relationship that they were having, because I wasn't trusting or I wasn't feeling secure. They create the foundation in which I'm able to feel secure as they interact with others. And I appreciate that as they vet people, they have brought people into my life, you know, other people that they've, you know, vetted or dated or just had a date with have also made me feel comfortable, you know, by not just don't make it weird. I really enjoy compersion. I don't feel like I have to have it all the time, but I'm grateful that I have it when I need it.
Right.
Yeah, it's nice right. to have a look, but how are you guys? Where are you guys?
You want to go first, baby? Or
no, you could go first, baby.
I not too heavy into jealousy, but being in my first relationship with a man and a woman, it was a weird kind of uphill battle psychologically. Mm-hmm. Because up till then, I had been in other non-monogamous relationships, but they were always with women. They're always multiple women. There was never mm-hmm. another man. Because I don't like them. I like Lotus.
That's how I feel about my boyfriend, too.
Same.
He always says that. He's like, I don't like them. I love him.
Yes, literally. And even within our own relationship, figuring out like, oh, like figuring out being a dominant and also how I should go about creating structure while also making sure that my partners have their time to spend with each other. Because there are many monogamous DS relationships, dom sub relationships. They have certain rules against that. They have certain rules about you having sex without permission or going on dates without permission or certain things. And me sort of coming into an already existing situation and saying like, well, I'm not going to stop you guys from doing what you've been doing for the last 3 years. So let's find certain compromises. let's find certain things and sort of figuring out like, man, like, especially because much of the time they are in New York, I'm here in Maryland. You know, I have some long distance things. Mm-hmm. that I have struggled with in the past, that I've been like, man, you guys get to spend all this time together and I get to see you guys once or twice a month, realistically, mm-hmm. every other weekend. More recently, we've tried to make it a point to see each other every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And sort of figuring out how to deal with, as Blaine said earlier, you know, a bit of scarcity, not because my partners weren't loving me or weren't doing their duty as my partners, but because there's just a certain thing, you certain humps you have to get over when it comes to long distance relationships. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I guess I don't know. Even in my jealousy, I often don't act on it. Like, it doesn't really manifest into anything. It's just sort of something I bottle up and I'm like, I wish I could be there. I wish I could be doing this. I wish I could, those sort of things. But you sort of just learn that you learn how to compartmentalize, I think, a little bit. You kind of learn how to compartmentalize. My partners both made a point of telling me, like, hey, even if the feeling's negative, we need you to tell us. Yeah. It's okay for you to have negative feelings. It's okay for you to have these thoughts, these feelings, but you need to talk to us so we know. So maybe we can find a way to, maybe we can find a different way to satisfy that thing that you feel you're missing, that you feel you're not getting. And communication's always the key, and it's been wonderful to sort of work through those feelings. In terms of people outside my relationship, I don't usually feel jealousy. It's much more possessiveness and protectiveness and sort of like, don't fuck with my babies. Don't fuck with my loves. Y'all do what y'all want to do over there. These over here, these are mine. Don't fuck with them. But other than that kind of energy, I'm a compersion factory. I have a bit of a voyeuristic kink myself. I also just enjoy, I realized I was polyamorous early in my life because I just enjoy watching people love, and I didn't think that love should be something that's just limited to this one person. If that's what you want, then fine. But I never thought people should be forced into that or should feel pressured by society or tradition or religion or any of these many things that push people into monogamy, even if they maybe don't really want that. And that's not really quite how they want to live. As our love said, Blaine is pretty closed off. She's like, y'all have fun. I don't really date, but I do have sex outside of our relationship, whether for work or not. Mm-hmm. Mostly for work in recent months, but I know I have the support of my partners as long as, you know, we sort of do things the way we always do things. We have what we call a kitchen table poly. We leave mm-hmm. everything on the kitchen table. We have meetings, we sit down and talk, and we lay down all of the things that are going on with prospective partners and content and things of that nature. So it's really easy to sort of talk through these things with Lotus. Lotus, the ladies love Lotus. I don't know what to tell you. I ladies love Lotus. And, you know, It's great to watch and to be supportive, but also to help, you know, because part of our triarchy is that, like, you know, if we bring someone to the rest of the triarchy, said, hey, maybe I have an interest here, the other two get to be like, all right, time to go into detective mode. Let's follow this person. Let's see what they're about.
Period.
Let's figure out what's going on. Let's see what's going on. Let's figure it out. Maybe let them talk for a month or so, and then, you know, maybe we got to pull a this you on somebody. Be like, did you see this?
You come with a brief, like, here are the documents.
It was a shady screenshot of a tweet. I'm like, ooh, look at your problematic fave. What's your boo set?
I love it. I love that energy.
It is fun, but it's also, it's great and it's comfortable because we get to protect each other. So it's easy to sort of work through the jealousy and also to have a lot of compersion. It's very easy because like Blaine said, we talk, we understand each other, we accept each other. Maybe not always the first time, you know, maybe we might need to come back to it, but
what is the rule, my love? I set a rule in the relationship. You have to say how you feel early. Why?
Yeah. If you say it later, you a hater.
You a hater. Like, point blank. That's real.
I've told him, like, you know, it's easier to say how you feel in the moment than saying yes to something that you're not 100% confident about and then backtracking. So I'd be like, hey, if you say it later, you're a hater. Let's say it now. Some of you don't like it now.
Yep.
So that we don't even have to do the thing that makes us uncomfortable.
As makes
opposed
it easy.
To saying yes to something because you don't want to ruin your partner's good time, but it's going to stay with you. Because none of us want to have a good time at the cost of our partner's feelings or sanity or safety.
Nobody wants to go out and go have great sex and come back to two attitudes.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not. We don't do that.
That's a great way to sum it
two
up. And also, if you say it later, you're a hater. I got to start using that.
I might use that against everybody.
I'm going to go to him with that right now. And he's going to be like, what are you talking about?
You should listen to the podcast.
Some rapid fire stuff. Like, you guys want to answer things really fast in 2 minutes?
Yes.
Yeah,
sure.
All right. When y'all are together, whether DC or New York, do you share one bed?
Yes.
Yes.
Who sleeps in the wet spot?
Me.
Blaine.
Is it because it's your wet spot?
Yes.
You deserve.
You made it. You said it.
You make the bed. You got to lay in it, right?
That's why I laughed. I was like, it's always me because it's me.
That's funny. Do you have a triad name?
The triarchy. So we like Game of Thrones and we've been watching House of Dragon. There was this group and they were like, oh, they're taking over this area and they called them the triarchy. And I was like, okay, I want to call us that now.
Pretty much.
Because I didn't want to just be a regular old triad.
I like it.
The triarchy. That was it. Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah.
Well, we know about the breeding kink, but are you looking to ever raise kids together?
We do.
We are. Yeah.
We're parents of queer kids.
Yes. Blaine has two children, has two daughters.
I don't talk about the parenting side of my life often because doxing and protecting my daughters.
Of course.
But they're preteen and teenage. They're big. And both my kids are queer. And these are their cool queer dads. Our children are aware of our polyamorousness and think it's the coolest shit ever. So,
and it is.
We get to be cool queer parents.
Nice.
Sweet.
That's the dream job.
Yes, yes, yes. But yes, we raise them together. They are very integral, especially at this point in the girls' lives, where they're exploring a lot of their own identities, and they've kind of taken to Sir and Lotus respectively, which is kind of how I saw it, because I've got a Spitfire Cancer and a moody non-binary baby Scorpio. So
not my sun and my rising signs come together.
It's literally you separated into two kids.
It's so much. And they have been because Lotus and Sir don't have any children of their own from that they bore. It's been really great watching them explore being queer dads together while also identifying, you know, as partners together and showing my daughters what Black queer love can look like and what alternative love styles can look like. And they're just like, wow, more opportunities for video games and Telfar beds.
That's boy. Really
nice.
Boy.
I love
the
it.
Girl, the girl needs her Drag Race merch, okay?
Yeah.
She
needs.
She's like, which one of the drag queens does she like again? I'm like, why are you on this website?
Love. That's why.
Yeah. yes.
That's really, really cute. If you've enjoyed our conversation with Goddess Blaine, Sir Sadistic, and Lotus Rope Wolf, you're in luck because we'll actually be continuing our conversation with them on next week's episode. Next time, we'll be diving deeper into kink and BDSM theory.
One time for the one time, can we get each of your social medias where we can find you?
Okay, so I am Goddess Blaine, GawddessBlaine, on Twitter, and I am The Goddess Blaine on Instagram. Sir is Sadistic Ways with a Z, SadisticWayz, and he is The Sadistic Ways on Instagram. Lotus is Lotus_RopeWolf on both Instagram and Twitter, and we post our education every single month. Follow us on our socials. You'll get to see the porn. The penis that I referenced that was so pretty is it can be seen on Twitter.
Have a lovely motherfucking week, because you deserve to.
Absolutely.